It is becoming more clear that the pandemic produced an abnormal number of deaths of people who did not have the virus. Today, I share results using especially the Centers for Disease Control's online tool for tabulating death certificates through June 2021. Although we know from other sources that feelings of depression and loneliness were elevated during the pandemic, the good news is that suicide deaths during the pandemic were a bit less than before. This is also confirmed by some of the emergency department data on treatment for self-harm. But deaths from drugs or alcohol are way up. Through the first 15 months of the pandemic, they were almost 50,000 above what they were before. A bit of this is a continuation of prior trends, but we are still 40,000 above that. Drug and alcohol deaths have never increased so much over such a time frame. The people who died in this way are a lot younger than people dying from COVID. One measure is life years, with more than 7 million life years lost from drug and alcohol during this time. For men, their part of the 7 million is more than the life years they lost from COVID. For every drug or alcohol death, there are more than 100 people with ongoing substance use disorder, which is modern parlance for drug or alcohol addiction. For the substances alcohol, narcotics, and meth, I estimate that 47 million Americans have substance use disorder, 8 million of which are above the previous trend. They will show up in a lot of metrics of economic and social activity on an ongoing basis, and employment and labor force participation are likely among them. The economics toolkit readily explains what happened. Our federal government was sending people massive amounts of cash, on average $30 per household per day. Normally, incomes go down during a recession, but in the pandemic, personal incomes increased record amounts. It would be wishful thinking to suppose that exactly zero of that money went to drugs or alcohol. It's true that national savings rates went up a lot, meaning that on average, households spend little of the money on anything. But we know from prior research that people with potential for drug and alcohol abuse are not average. I guess that they saved too, but still not as much as the average. We know from prior research that liquidity is quickly followed by somewhat elevated mortality from alcohol and drugs. This effect is especially strong when the liquidity is not coming with any incentive to invest in job-related human capital. Indeed, the pandemic payments were big disincentives to be working. Quantify the income or liquidity effect as well as price effects, I consider alcohol, narcotics, and psychotropics separately. Alcohol-induced causes include acute alcohol poisoning, but also deaths from chronic alcohol-related liver disease. By the CDC's convention, it does not include drunk driving accidents. Narcotics deaths are almost all involving opioids of one type or another. Deaths involving psychotropic drugs are primarily crystal meth. Alcohol has its own price changes, which I relate to the shift of drinking from bars and restaurants, where alcohol is expensive, to home, where alcohol is much cheaper on a per-gallon basis. As a quantitative matter, we know from historical data how much each percentage reduction in alcohol prices translates into additional alcohol deaths. The restaurant-to-home shift is much less relevant for illegal drugs. For them, I focus on the full price, which is the sum of a money price and an opportunity cost. Consuming dangerous drugs requires time to acquire, administer, and especially recover from them. So the full price involves the value of time, which is where the unemployment bonuses come in. Unemployment benefits have always been around, but what was novel in the last 2 years was very large bonuses. These are policy-induced shocks to the value of time, in addition to changes to the value of time coming from other sources. One prediction from this economic approach is that organic opioid deaths would not increase and may decrease, and this actually happened. Another prediction is that opioid deaths overall would increase proportionally more than meth deaths, even though opioids include some of those categories with reduced deaths. Again, that happened. Another prediction is that combined deaths from alcohol and drugs, which were about 130,000 at an annual rate in 2019, would peak at about 180,000 in summer 2020, which is exactly what happened. The economics predicts a 25,000 drop when the bonuses stop. Again, this happened. The economics says that when the bonuses come back on in January 2021, the death rate would go back up to 180,000. Again, that's what happened. The economic approach accurately predicts patterns by substance, demographic group, and time. For example, the double peak time series I described for drug mortality should vary across age groups because they have different rates of contact with the unemployment system. This actually happened. Throughout the pandemic, I warned, including on this show, that fiscal policy was wildly disproportionate and disruptive. Audiences were always upset that I even suggest that well-intentioned fiscal policies might have lethal consequences for thousands of people. Perhaps all that has happened is a coincidence. All I can say is good luck trying to understand the very real and serious substance abuse problems without touching the economics toolkit. This didn't have to be a postmortem analysis.